Let's go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, the gospel of Jesus Christ, write it down, is the gospel of the glory of God. And some writers in Scripture call it the gospel of the glory, or the glorious gospel. Moses, we will see in the book of Exodus in a few minutes, wanted to see God's glory. And let's find out today what that glory is. And just pour it in concrete in your own mind and heart that it is the gospel. It's the gospel of God's grace, the gospel of the blood, the gospel of substitution, the gospel that God came to earth, the gospel that Christ died in our stead, room, and place, and that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody goes to the Father except He comes through Jesus Christ. Notice this. God, who at sundry times, different times, and in divers manners or ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. God spoke in olden time through the prophets to the fathers. But God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. We're digging in deep, and yet a simple truth. Who being the brightness of His glory, the brightness of His glory. This is the chief characteristic of His character, the brightness. Christ is the glory of God. Christ is the brightest glory of God. Christ shines the brightest. God manifests Himself in Jesus Christ. Glory. This is glorious. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. This is glorious. That God, not through the prophets, but God come to earth. This is the glory. The express image of His person, who is the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. When He had by Himself, God, salvation is of the Lord, God in the flesh, when He had by Himself purged our sins, made an end of sin. What did Jesus Christ do when He finished the work? He sat down. That's what you do, except us bipolar people. That's what you do when you finish. You sit down. And that's what Christ did. When He had purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thank God. It's finished. It's accomplished. It's done. No more work. No more law keeping for salvation. None of that. None of that. Now let's go over to the Corinthian letter. Let's see. Let's go to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You know that God took Moses up on Mount Sinai and God gave His law. The law is good. The Ten Commandments are good. The problem is not with God and God's law. The problem is with us. The only people who have problems with the law are lawbreakers. That's who we are. When you look into that mirror of the perfect holy law of God, you see you have a black heart. God says, thou shalt not, and we do. Is that right? Don't do this, don't do that, and as sure as shooting, we do it. We're lawbreakers. When you look into a mirror and you have a dirty face, you don't pick up a rock and say, that dirty, no good for nothing mirror. The mirror is a revealer that you have dirt on your face and you need a cleansing. So is the holy law of God. Nobody in here has kept the Ten Commandments. And most of you who say you're seeking to keep the Ten Commandments to go to heaven don't even know them. So, listen, if heaven depended on me keeping the commandments, I would memorize them. Wouldn't you? I'd try to at least know them. But by the way, while you're memorizing the ten, there are over 5,000 direct commandments in the Old Testament. Memorize them all, keep them all inside and outside, and be perfect. Now in 2 Corinthians 3, in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, let's begin with verse 7. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious. The Apostle Paul said, when Moses went up on Sinai, and God gave His holy law, it was something to behold. It was an awesome event. The people stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain was fenced off, roped off, because God was on the mountain, and God is holy. And God is giving His holy law. So the people could not approach God through the law. They were fenced off. And it was so fenced off that God even said this. If an animal approaches this mountain, it shall die. Because God is holy. And understand this very clearly. That there is no approach to God through the Ten Commandments. He'll kill you because you're unholy. You can't approach God without being holy. You got to be holy. And we can't do that. And the glory of the gospel is what we couldn't do, God did for us. The gospel says that the gate is open, the fence is down. The Spirit and the bride say, come, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come. Come to Christ. Don't try to approach God through law works. But it was a glorious manifestation of the law. Thunderings and lightnings. And Moses did fear and quake. Even the man of God, the friend of God, Moses shook at the appearance of God in the law revealing God's holy character. Glorious. Have you ever had anything glorious but so scary, you had to change clothes? That's what he's talking about here. I've told you many, many times, those of you who've attended here for 30-some years, you've heard me tell about the tornado blowing me off the road in Lancaster, Kentucky, or Danville, Kentucky. In between Danville, I was in a 98-0s, got caught in a tornado. And it was so black I couldn't see. The rain was coming down. The wind was blowing. That 98-0s began to go like this. And pretty soon it began to go like this. We were moving the wrong way. Sideways. I'm telling you, it was glorious. So glorious that I needed to change clothes. It was glorious. But there is a glory that excelleth. The Apostle Paul says this in the verse. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, I know that sounds like maybe a little complicated to understand, but what Paul says is this. The law was given and it was glorious, but it is a ministration of judgment, of condemnation. He said there's something more glorious than that. That exceedeth that giving of the law. In fact, Paul goes on to say it so exceeds the giving of the law that what happened on Sinai seems like nothing at all. so much more glorious. This ministration of grace. What God has done for poor sinners. Salvation is of the Lord. Listen, my friend, you need to know this. You can go to church Christmas and Easter and the rest of the Sundays in the year and die and go to hell. You can talk about doing good, going to church, doing whatever you do, but none of it matters. Because you are a sinner. You have to be changed from the inside out. God has to take your hell. A man has to come to earth in your stead, room and place. It's the gospel of the glory. Now look at verse 5 of chapter 4. There's a glory that excels. Paul said, "For we preach not ourselves," and we don't preach the law, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, "and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God..." Now, which God was that? The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The God who said, "Let there be light," has shined in our hearts. Think about that. "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." Where is the glory of God? It's in the face of Jesus Christ. "He that hath seen the Son hath seen the Father." Here's the gospel of the glory. Over in the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter, let's go over there for just a moment. And Moses is asking God for this favor. Now you'd think Moses had seen enough. He'd been at the burning bush. He'd been on Mount Sinai. He'd met up with God there at the bush, and God said, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." Anytime you meet up with God, you're on holy ground. What happens when a sinner comes to faith in Jesus Christ? He sees God. The God-man. The nail-scarred one. The crucified one. Holy ground. This is all about being on holy ground. This is not... The gospel and going to church should never be ho-hum. How many of you have been to church and been bored? How many of you couldn't wait till it got over? Yeah, a few. A few honest people here. How many have gone to sleep in church? I'll tell you, I didn't go to sleep in the Oldsmobile. And when you're in the presence of God Almighty and find out what He has done for you in Jesus Christ, you can't go to sleep. You just cannot. There's a shout and a hallelujah. Think about this. Moses here, let's read, Exodus 33 and verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, "See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. Thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Show me thy glory. And we ask, okay, what attribute will God show? Will God show His justice? Will God show His holiness? Will God show His wrath? Will God show His mercy? Will God show Moses his sins? Hear the answer. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Wonder what that would do for us. That's kind of what the preacher is supposed to be doing. Preaching and showing the goodness of God. Where the people of God say hallelujah. Where the people of God say glory, or this is glorious. This is marvelous. That's really what ought to happen in church. You ought to be more excited than you were last night. Go blue. Amen. I will make all my goodness pass before thee. Oh, the goodness of God. You ever thought about how good God is? Think about creation. How good God is in creation. I'm seeing robins and redbirds. And God's making the maple trees begin to pop just a little bit. And those robins and redbirds sing the most beautiful song of spring. God's good to the robin and the redbird and the maple tree. And the little fish that jump out of the water. And the big bass that catch the insects that God sends to feed them. God is good. And you know what? God is good to the worst person in here. He lets you breathe His oxygen. You curse God and plant a garden and He makes it rain on your garden. If you got what you deserve, He'd just make everything wither. But God is good. And we say that here, don't we? God is good and good all the time. He's so good. The Bible says, the Apostle Paul said in the Corinthian letter, why, the goodness of God ought to lead you to repentance. What ought to happen with the Christian when God gives you a job? Thank you, God. You've been so good to me. When God puts food on your table? Thank you, God. When you get a new house, when the baby's born with 10 fingers and toes. Thank you, God. How thankful we ought to be, because God is good and He's good all the time. But think about this. Think about this petition. Show me thy glory. Moses knew God was a spirit. God is spirit. I've been telling you that. The only God you're going to see when you get to heaven is going to have nail scars in His hands and feet. Amen. You get that? I know that's weighty, but you need to understand that God is spirit. And Moses said, Moses who experienced the law given, Moses said, that won't cut it with me. There's got to be more to you than justice and wrath and condemnation. Show me your most glorious characteristic. That's what He asked for. That's what you and I ought to be asking for too. Show me your glory. And God will always answer that in the face of Jesus Christ. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. I want you to note this. In verse 13 of Exodus 33... Moses asked a smaller favor before he requested the big one. In verse 13, he said to God, show me thy way. Show me thy way. You know, nothing pleases God any more than when He answers you your smaller request than for you and I to go back and ask Him to multiply it 10 times. Amen. When I bought 53 Seneca and God gave it to us, I said, I want the street. Well, he gave me the little thing. And all through the Bible, you'll find, you know, Abraham, when Lot got in all that trouble and he went down to rescue him from Sodom, he started out with the big numbers and then he just went down. But here's the way we ought to go to God. For that blessing that you're asking for, listen, if God gives you $1 million, ask for 20 million. Is God able to do that? People around here talk about, oh, God did such a great thing for me. You know, I got a $50 raise or whatever. I mean, you thank Him for it, but you don't stop there. God wants you to come back. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Is that the way you see your God? Well, when He gives you a little something, go back and say, I want 20 times that. And He'll be pleased with it, too. You've heard me say this many times. If I was going to ask for God to give me one thing, it would be, give me giant faith. I want faith to trust God, because faith is the victory. If I can just trust God, He'll do all kinds of things. I got to preaching to myself last night, and about, 8:30, 9 o'clock, I said, I'm going to call the owner of Clutch Cargo. So I called Amir last night. I said, Amir, you still got my building, right? He said, yes, it's still yours, Pastor. I said, well, I was just checking. Why wouldn't I ask for that? Is God able to give us that? Absolutely, He's able to do that. God is spirit. Think about God is spirit. So He's here. His presence is here. But by faith, I can see the glory, the nail-scarred person of Jesus Christ. Show me thy glory. That was a pretty bold move. First, he kind of snuck up on God. Show me thy way. And then when he got that all down pat, he said, now show me your glory. Show me that chief attribute. Show me yourself. You know, this was several years ago, President Bush. I wanted to go over and see if I could get close enough to meet him. And one of our PR people was working with us at that time to get me in there. And I got in there and she was kind of following me around. And I was trying to get, you know, down the line where the president was coming down the line. And I had my business card all out. And the president came by and I handed him my business card. Pontiac Rescue Mission. And this PR person ran up to me and said, did you just give the President of the United States your business card? I said, yeah, he needs to know about us. And the amazing thing was the President stopped and he said, Pontiac Rescue Mission. Oh, you run a rescue mission? I said, yes, I do. He said, God bless you. You know what? It was just as natural for me. I mean, he's President of the United States, but my God is a big God. He was a human being, and I had great respect, but I didn't see anything wrong with that. Christian people need to think big. Think as big as your God. He's able to do for you whatever His purpose is and will is in your life. And this thing of serving God ought to be a joy and so exciting. So exciting. God usually comes through right at the last moment so we know who did it. You know what I mean? So, well, I've been asking. Keep asking. He wants you to know who did it. So He gets all the glory, right? What got me started thinking this way was I was talking to Quentin and I said, you know, God deserves all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And he looked right at me, and this may sound simple to you, but it really stuck me. He said, and more. That means you don't exhaust His praise, right? Quentin said, and more. And I said, that's exactly right. So Moses knew that God was spirit, and he had a vague idea, I think. He must have had a vague idea that it might be possible for divinity to be seen. I've been in this a long time. the more I study the gospel, the more stirred I am, the more amazed I am, the more excited I am. Moses, I think, suspected that divinity could be seen. And that's why he said, "Show me your glory. I want to see your glory." You know, I think y'all were asking me about ghosts, weren't you? Yeah. We're going to get those ghosts out of that house. They were asking me about ghosts. Well, I don't know about ghosts. I've never seen a ghost. I don't know how you see a ghost anyway. But I do know, and by the way, the word Holy Ghost in the Bible is a bad translation by the translators. It's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not Casper. It's the Holy Spirit. But anyway, Moses knew that. He said, "You can't see a spirit, right? You can't see a spirit." So Moses said, "Show me your glory. Let me see you." The Bible, Jesus said, "The wind bloweth." How many of you have ever seen the wind? No, you haven't. Somebody raise their hand. You haven't seen the wind. You've seen the effects. You say, "The wind's blowing." How you know? Well, the leaves. But you haven't seen the wind blowing. The Spirit. God is Spirit. The great Spirit God. And Moses said, "I want to see your glory." The truth is that only a God can comprehend God. That's really the truth. You got waters to swim in when you began to worship God. Don't think you've got it down pat. "Well, I've been a Catholic for 50 years. I've been a Baptist for 45 years. So what? You're still as stupid as far as who God really is. We all are. We all are, right? How much have you experienced God? How massive? We shouldn't have to be saying that to Christians, should we? We all ought to be experiencing it. Man, living by faith. Somebody said that Grace Gospel is trying to take over the city. Yes! Yes! We want to see Christ turn this city upside down. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I thought about this too last night. I thought, when Moses said, "Show me your glory," have you ever said anything and then thought, "Why on earth did I say that?" He's talking to God, the Creator, the Majestic One, the Omniscient One, the Sovereign One. "Show me your glory." Talk about this a lot. The glory of God. I want you to just think about this. This is for you who don't want to argue with me. You just want to rejoice in this. But think about this. Before the foundation of the world, God wrote your name in His book. God chose you. Oh yeah, He saw you were going to be down in Lodibar. He saw you was going to be shooting up. He saw all that. He didn't come to save good people. He came to save bad folks. Most of this crowd fits the bill there, right? Including the preacher. Think about that. Just think about that. The glorious truth that God was gracious to you in election. That God actually chose you. And just shake your head in wonder. It's kind of like, "You talking to me?" Yeah. God chose you. Isn't that something? And it wasn't because you were good. No, it had nothing to do with good or bad because there was no good. You were a no good. And I was too. And then think about in time that God, this is the glory of God, that God came down here and redeemed you. He bought you. He did it on purpose. He didn't go to the market of sinners and just say, "You know, I'm going to buy all of you." He came down here and bought you. Yeah. He said, "I want that one and that one and that one, please." That's right. And paid your sin debt. Isn't that something? You know, I've said this many times to you. If I said to Miss Pam, you know, baby, I just love all women. All women are beautiful. I love all women. I don't think that will float her boat. No. But if I say you are beautiful, I love you and you are special to me. God said, I love you. I died for you. I took your place. I produced a righteousness for you. And there's no condemnation for you. That's the glory of God. And then he called you. Think about, you were out there wandering around. Think about this. And Quentin got me on this. Under the bridge, what, 12 years ago? About 12 years ago. Under the bridge at I-75 and Nine Mile Road. Under the bridge, track marks all up and down his arms. Hadn't seen his wife or children. And God went under the bridge. And Milton, who is now with the Lord, went down to Hot and Cot and somewhere in Detroit. And Quentin couldn't even walk. He and another guy had to pick him up and put him in the van. Oh, God is good. That's the glory of God. And I tell you this, on Thursday, we're going to have happy people in here. We're going to have a home going. We're going to have a graduation. We're going to have just a super time here. We're going to be happy. Absolutely happy. You want to see the glory of God? Be careful if you ask to see it. So here's what God said to Moses. You want to really see my glory? You want something to really blow your mind? I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. God could damn this whole bunch in here, all of us. Put us all in hell. And he'd still be God and still be righteous. But think about this. He had mercy on some of us. Yeah, that's why when we get to heaven, we're not going to praise our free will, our works, our church, our ceremonies, our baptism. We're going to praise him. He chose us. He redeemed us. He called us. He justified us. He'll surely glorify us. And that's why I think Quentin could say, I'm going home. I'm just going home. I said to him several times, are you afraid? No. No. I said, do you want to go home? Yeah. I want to go home. I want to go home. I am so renewed today by watching a believer die or go to sleep. I'm so renewed. I said this to myself in prayer to God. Lord, make me as strong as Quentin when it comes for me to die. I don't know. I don't know about me. I don't trust me very much. It's going to take a mighty God. You see, you know, when you have cancer, you're eat up with cancer. There is no turning back. There is no hope. He said to me, Wednesday morning, Pastor, I thought I'd wake up in heaven this morning. No, but at the appointed time, you went. It was all planned and purpose. I kept telling him, because sometimes he'd stare off like this and we'd be quiet. I'd say, what do you see? I thought he saw something. He said, nothing yet. Nothing yet. But I guarantee you this, when he closed his eyes and gave up his spirit, I can tell you this, the Lord was there. The angels were there. He will not lose his elect. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died all my sins to atone. When the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. This last little thing, I've told a lot of my stories already, but it was so uplifting. I got ready to go one day, and I always went halfway down the steps, and then I looked back to watch him, just see how he's doing. And I had my phone, and those of you who call me, my phone rings with Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. So my phone rang, and his hearing was perfect. You know, his hearing was just perfect. And I was looking at him, and the phone rang, and I couldn't get it out of my pocket in time. So about one verse there was of Amazing Grace, and he began to holler out, "It's all of grace! It's all of grace!" I hope that's my testimony too. It's all of grace. Let's stand and praise our God.